Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
All right, welcome back here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Our lead story, Cougs win 69-61. Milos Uzun was fantastic last night. 22 points, led the way. Jaywan, you know, got fouled out. He hit his free throws, 10 to 12 from the line. That was awesome. Had it himself. That was huge. And Emmanuel Sharp had a couple of big threes as well. They did it basically without L.J. Cryer. 1 for 5 from the field. 1 for 5, just 5 points. And LJ has been their go-to guy all season long. Malik Wilson with a couple of big baskets. They shot 45% while they held Texas Tech, one of the top teams in the country, to under 30%. At 20%, 6 of 30 from 3. That's bad. So you close out, you stifle them. They didn't get the turnovers they usually get, but they did stifle them, that's for sure. It was a good game all the way. So they didn't have Texas Tech didn't have two of their starters. Two of their starters were out. Kelvin Sampson, after the game, addressed that, okay? And listen, nobody knows about two starters out like Kelvin Sampson does, but you just go and you play. That's all you do. You go and you play, and here's the deal. You know, they won, and, you know, if Texas Tech is fully healthy, well, Dez pointed out, last game they beat U of H, and they didn't have their best player or their coach, and they beat U of H at home. So this time they didn't have two of their best players, and here's Kelvin Sampson talking about it.
For us to do what we did tonight was great. But there's also an asterisk as far as I'm concerned. I don't sit here and beat. I mean, I think I saw where we had run 19 out of 20 or 20 out of 21, something like that. And we've beaten a lot of good teams. One at Arizona, one at West Virginia, one at Kansas. I mean, we got a really good team. But so does Texas Tech when they're healthy. They're really good too.
Yeah. They didn't have two of their guys. That's all right. Maybe meet up in the – I think these two teams could possibly meet up in the Elite Eight.
Oh, yeah.
I think, yeah. These two teams can go – Texas Tech is really good. Texas Tech is really good. I thought when they were here, I mean, they're a tough team. They play like the Cougs. They're going to be tough come tournament time. This is a good team. So that was a good win yesterday. That was a really, really good win yesterday. Yeah, and the Cougs are really good. Here is now Coach also addressed winning another Big 12 title.
They've got more. And Reagan was pissed. Kansas won for 20 straight years. Okay,
all right. I'm pretty sure Kansas is still in the Big 12, right? Is Kansas still in the Big 12 or no?
They're still
because
in there. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the Cougs are now dominating the Big 12. With Kansas still in it, and they're still Kansas. As far as I'm concerned, they're still Kansas. And, oh, by the way, that means, yeah, you can beat them. Oh, maybe A&M couldn't, Reagan, but the Cougs can, okay? Nothing against A&M, okay? But the Cougs are a different class. Up here, baby, up here. Here is Kelvin Sampson talking about another Big 12 championship.
Well, every team has its own identity, with its own fabric and its own makeover. We work so hard when nobody's around. And I think when you put in the time and effort, you create your own expectations. I have no idea or really care about anybody else's. All that matters is ours. We prepare to be successful.
That's it. We ain't talking about championships, even though it's a ring after ring after ring. All them AAC rings, now Big 12 rings. It's what they do. They win rings. So we got a great team here. We got a great team. It's going to be a lot of fun. That tournament's going to be a lot of fun. Pressure's going to be on them, though. I mean, this is, this may be, if they stay healthy, this is as good a chance. I mean, even Billis and Reese Davis and Seth Greenberg and Jay Williams, they were all saying that, this is a championship team. This is a championship caliber team that Kelvin Sampson has. And he has not. He's gotten to the Final Four, but, the injury bug has killed him. Hopefully, that won't be the case here. Hopefully, that won't be the case. We got a chance to watch a championship team here. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I think that, these wins, when you get road wins and when you get, his team is a mentally tough team, but once again, I think the real difference this year is that, and sometimes it's not a great thing because you need to have a go-to guy for the early stages of a game, but there's multiple players who can score this year. So they're a little bit harder. They're a little harder to guard in that you don't know, and they're a much better shooting team. They shoot about 39% from three this year, where every other year it's been about 34%. So they're a much better three-point shooting team. We had Kelvin on Friday, and he talked about that was one of the points of emphasis, is they wanted to get better in terms of being a three-point shooting team. It was something that needed to happen, and it's something that has happened. But, there's just something about watching the Cougars and seeing – you have to really strap up, because you're not going to – it's not going to be a game where it comes easy for you in the half court. It's not – there's some matchups where you watch college basketball and you just see it's just a matter of moving the ball. You move the ball. You're trying to beat a 2-3 zone. You're trying to – your man-to-man is not as intense when it crosses half court. With Houston, you just don't really get a break. You don't get a breather. No. That takes a lot of – it takes a lot out of you when you're constantly engaged at a high level mentally. It's just, you're on eggshells constantly, and it's very hard. It's hard on Houston to keep that energy on defense and play efficient offense. It's why great defensive teams typically in basketball are not very good offensively, because you exert so much energy. But by the same token, you have to match their energy if you're the opposing team, and most teams are not going to be used to matching that level of intensity.
So people are asking, they think it's Mike Zuerlein and Johnny Harris.
That's me.
Behind you.
Harris? Johnny Harris has been blonde forever.
It's Lance and Mike, his brother.
Yeah. And then my sister.
I think it's Johnny Harris. It's Mike Zuerlein and no.
That's Mike when he played football at Nicholls State. Look at that big monster. He was a guard at Nicholls State. That's me with my Louisville shirt, because I was repping. I guess that would have been my sophomore year of college.
And that's your sister in the middle?
Yeah, and then that's my sister in the middle.
Where's King Butter?
That's before Butter, the awesome guy, was around.
Your sister's cute. Why are you covering her up? That's who we should be looking at, not you. Okay?
She went to already. Back then she was going to John Curtis High School in New Orleans. And then she's at LSU Tiger. Yeah.
My brother went to
Nicholls State, where Bebe Ogeron was, because he'd been kicked out of Miami for fighting and drinking. My sister went to LSU after going to John Curtis Christian School in New Orleans. And then,
and then you went to
Louisville because Le Bradford Smith was there.
Y'all got Louisiana all over you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nicholls, LSU, and Tulane.
I'm the only one who graduated high school in Texas. They both graduated in New Orleans.
Yeah. They're younger. You're the oldest.
Yeah. I'm the oldest.
When'd your dad take the job in Tulane?
His first one he took, he went twice. He was with Greg Davis in 88. And then he went back with Buddy Tevens in 95, I think. 95, something like that. Yeah. So the first one he was with Greg Davis, in spring of 88 is when my dad took that. So he left the house and moved to New Orleans ahead of us. And then I finished high school, and then we left after my senior year. Actually, shortly after graduation, we took off and moved to New Orleans. So they went to high school at John Curtis. They finished because my dad told my brother, he goes, okay, you got a couple of choices of high school. You can go to John Curtis, which is a football factory. It's a private school. It's a parochial school, because in New Orleans it's pretty much you go private school, parochial school. The public schools are pretty rough, and they're not very good. The education system there is pretty terrible. And he goes, so you can go to John Curtis, which is a football factory, and it's run by the Curtis family, like – the principal's Curtis, like the head coach is JT Curtis, pretty much all Curtises all over the place. Or you can go to, not John Carroll, there was another school where Greg Davis's son was the quarterback coach, and it was a public school that was decent, but they weren't a very good football team. They were okay. And my brother goes, I want to go to that school where Greg Davis's son is. And my dad goes, nope, you're going to John Curtis. So he didn't really have a choice. But no. What do you want to do, Mike? Where do you want to go? And Mike gave the wrong answer. He goes, nope, John Curtis.
Sorry, John Curtis.
Sorry, you're going to John Curtis. Nice try. John Arrett, I think, was what it was, or something like that. But it's New Orleans is different now. The schools, just everything about New Orleans. You know, you have Newman High School, which is where Peyton Manning went to school. But that's for the rich hoity-toities uptown. That's where they went. Randy Livingston, former LSU Tiger, former Rocket, Houston Rocket.
Yep.
He went to Newman when Eli was there. Randy Livingston was phenomenal. One of the best young high school players that came out, and he just jacked up his knee and was never the same. Smith hasn't met my sister. Okay?
Wow.
Stop sending stuff like that on Twitch.
Wow, Steve Smith and your sister references. That's ugly. Let's break. That's terrible.
I told you Steve I texted Smith. Steve to see how
what
he's
about
doing. He goes,
what about Stefan Diggs? Does he matter?
No. Stefan will never meet anyone from my family.
Okay. I just asked.
Not even, can't even time hold to talk, my dogs.
Time to talk about Chastain Ford. Time to talk. I want you to meet the Chastains, okay? I want you to meet who I think run the best dealership in the city of Houston, who I think give you the best chance to get the best deal in the city of Houston, who I know I'm buying my vehicles from. I bought my vehicles from. Okay? I trust them. I know they're going to give me the best deal that they possibly can. I know it is going to be no add-ons, no markups. They don't care about that. They're not doing that. Okay, I want the vehicle how I want it. They want the vehicle how I want it. They want my payments to be where I can afford them. I want my payments to be where I can afford them. They want me to have the best car buying experience I can have. They want no pressure, they have no markups, no hidden fees, none of that. None of that garbage in there, because that stuff happens all the time in the car business. It doesn't happen ever at Chastain Ford. So you can trust that, okay? You can trust the Chastains to make sure that their people, all their people, it's a philosophy, okay? And it comes from on high and permeates throughout the entire building. We're going to get you the best deal we possibly can on the best product they possibly can, the Ford. So you're looking for that Ford car or truck? There's one place to go in my mind. It's Chastain Ford on 610 in Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. The number to hang with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lil Ice, is he still alive, Lance?
Well, he was willing to die for his gang, as he was telling him on the Maury Povich show. So I don't know. I'm assuming he's dead.
13 years old. He was on the Maury Povich show.
Yeah, that's my shout out to Lil Ice holding it down.
Lil Ice was willing to die for his gang.
If you're watching the video, it's on the Twitch.
If you're 13, that's who's on my screen commitment now. That's a commitment to your peeps.
When you're willing to, are you willing to die for Yanni and Chad and Justin?
No, none of them. None of them.
I mean, because they're kind of your gang.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Dell, are you willing to die for B-Mac and Abigail and Mapes and Sam? Are you willing to die for them and AJ?
Are they in my gang?
They're kind of your gang. And B-Mac and Jeremy Branham, are you willing to die for your gang?
None of those people are in my gang. No.
They
kind of
are.
They're not. You can't tell me who's in my gang. They're not in my gang. I'm not willing to die for them.
You're a gang of one.
Exactly. So no loyalties. No one can snitch on me. No, I'm not willing to die for people outside the
Okay. Yeah, I'm not willing to die for any of them. Are you willing to die for Chris Solis and Michael Bennis and Johnny Harris in your gang?
Yeah, because I'm a real one.
And LeShane? You're ready to die for LeShane?
I'm willing to die for my gang.
You are?
Okay. Yeah, that's why I kind of roll by the – I kind of roll with what the streets, the vibe of the streets, just like Lil Ice, the white kid with a sideways hat who's 13.
Yeah, willing to die. You're willing to die for your peeps.
For my gang,
I got you. Chris Solis, you're willing to die. Okay, you're willing to I don't even know that you're willing to not take the last crab cake, okay, on the appetizer. I'm pretty sure you're like, no, screw you, Chris Solis. I'm taking that one.
So, no, it's but I'm always eyeballing it. Like, you just have to kind of read the table.
Right.
If we bring our wives,
for it, I will.
Yeah, if we bring our wives, then we already know, there's a chance that one crab cake that Heather was, she may eat it, she may not. We're just keeping an eye on things, just kind of looking it over. By the way, I was with had pizza yesterday with Matt Money Smith, who does play-by-play for the Chargers, longtime radio guy, Petros and Money. He does Cougar. He's going to be in Houston calling. He's here calling Indiana Purdue basketball, and then now he's here for the combine. So he's going to be in Indianapolis for a while. Then he travels to Houston to do Houston, Kansas basketball on Compass Media for radio. So he's like, this guy's super busy. He does a lot of different stuff. And great guy. And we were talking about, I asked him about Shohei Ohtani. And he said, it's like Ohtani didn't exist really until he got to the Dodgers. Anything with Anaheim is like it just doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But he said, Shohei Ohtani is making so much money. He's making about $150 million a year right now. He was offered, he will not take a meeting unless it starts at $15 million. Won't take a meeting. And it's really because he doesn't like to do a lot of things. So he's like, if they'll give me $15 million or more for whatever this is, then I will talk. There was a Japanese business that wanted him to come show up and do a one-hour event. A one-hour event. And they offered him $1 million. And he's like, nope. Because basically he doesn't want to do stuff. But he figures, okay, I'll throw $15 million up. And if you say yes, then I guess we're in business. So the Dodgers' salary is irrelevant to him. The Dodgers have the ability now to basically say, we're going to pay you whatever it is, $36 this year, and then we'll take $60 million, $70 million, and then it's deferred. So they have this benefit of being in L.A., this unfair benefit of being able to be in a marketplace where Shohei Ohtani can have all these business opportunities. Like I said, $15 million a year is what it takes to get in the door for him advertising-wise. And they said that in Japan, he talked to one of the guys who works there who's half Japanese, half Chinese, and he travels there for work to Japan. And he's like, dude, it's literally every four doors down from a business you go, there's Shohei Ohtani commercials. So he said the amount of money he's making from Japan is you can't even fathom how much money he's making from Japan. And so the Dodger salary is completely irrelevant. It's like Yeah, well, it's the highest number.
Million.
But he makes $150 million a year in advertising and sponsorships.
It's the $70 million that he gets from the Dodgers.
No, he's just forcing his number. That. Like, he wants to have the highest number, yeah. But the Dodgers don't have to pay it until later.
Well, that's all right. I mean, yeah, it turns out to be $46 million because it's deferred. But it's still that number is the one that's producing all the other numbers. I mean, he wouldn't be Shohei Ohtani if it wasn't for the Dodgers. He wasn't Shohei Ohtani, like you said, when he was in Anaheim. Right, he's that's a great player. That's the it's awesome what he's doing. And but now that he's winning championships and he's a Dodger, he's like he can write his own checks. Right, I get that, but that $70 million that he gets from the Dodgers is what creates that market for him.
Well, no, his play creates the market.
Well, it didn't in Anaheim. It's
the
Dodgers.
Being a spectacular player. Oh no, he was still making. He was still making that kind of money.
He was making nice money.
No. He was making about $100 million plus on sponsorship deals when he was at Anaheim. The Japanese money is. It really doesn't matter where he plays. He is going to make that kind of money. The Japanese money is going to come in, and it's a completely different market from. You know, just like Yao Ming used to make a bunch of money from, in China that he probably had to give to the country. He had to give to, the peasants or whatever, the people in button factories.
Right. So I played golf yesterday with a guy from China, as a matter of fact. And they paired us up with him. And, he's not real pleased with Trump right now. He's a businessman that brings...
He's getting crushed.
Stuff over, and he's like these. There's no China. There's no tariff on American products in China. Oh yeah, that's right. There are. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fair is fair. Sorry, China.
I told you. I know somebody who secondhand who works for the Department of Defense, who voted for Trump and was all excited. And now they're like, "What the? Wait a minute. I didn't think I was going to get fired."
Well. Sorry, but there's a lot of
Trump's
waste in that Department
you.
Of
gone.
Defense. I don't know.
So
if
now he's like, I voted for my own firing. I said, thought you were voting for, but just
so
where's your just get your paper together. Like, what are five things that you accomplished last week, John?
I did. We did it yesterday in the show.
Oh, y'all did?
I
was gone?
When you left.
Oh,
yeah.
Boop. That was a great idea.
So I am.
They would fire. Doge would fire me.
My college roommate is here, and he did some auditing for the Department of Defense, and he said, all these firings and stuff, they're really not necessary. What we need to do is get all of the waste in the Defense Department, and that is trillions. We will save trillions of dollars.
It has been forever.
Ever.
It has
forever.
Been forever. It's not
he
the
said,
people.
These,
you guys remember when they came out with the thing,
all
John?
These low-level employees – It's
stupid.
Not saving us the money. What's saving us the money is $1,500 soap dishes in their jets. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Because it's a grift. Because they have all this money, and it's a grift.
And it's
but it's always been like that with the DOD. Always.
Always. And it's contractors that are building these that you have to use to build these planes and tanks and everything else. And they're just crushing us. But that's how people get rich. And then there's kickbacks, and it's a mess. But we'll figure it out. We got really smart people on this thing, right, Del? Really smart people. So Del's not worried about it. We got smart people on this. I mean,
no,
is there anybody smarter?
Is
anybody smarter than Elon? Do you feel like you're smarter than Elon, Del?
No, I just don't trust him.
Okay. Oh, do you not trust him?
He's untrustworthy.
Wow. All right. Kamala.
Elon is doing a lot of fighting with people on Twitter.
You ain't got to call me the presidential nominee for the Democrats just because I don't trust Elon. There are plenty of people who don't trust him.
Who's doing a lot of fighting on Twitter?
Elon.
I know.
Like, every day he's fighting people on Twitter. Like, dude,
back.
Just get off Twitter and just do your own. Like, just go do whatever you're going to do. Stop fighting with people on Twitter.
I know. And all these Democratic meltdowns that he posts on there, it's so funny.
I know. He's like, he posts so much on there I mean, I wish he had some guys to write up.
I know. If he was busy, I thought he was really busy just looking at everything, and instead he's posting a lot.
I mean, no, pick a lane, man. Post some stuff, impregnate some woman you don't care about. Just pick a lane, man. I mean,
now, wait a minute. That's the job of athletes.
That's the job of Elon, too.
I know. Elon is one of the first guys I've seen that runs into the Sean Kemp territory.
That's a job for rich guys, okay? Impregnate as many as possible. That's what rich guys do. So,
for what?
Elon,
for who?
Elon is not, if you're rich with as an athlete, if you're rich as a rich guy, it doesn't matter. Let's impregnate. Time to talk about being a champion, and that's different. Champion Energy is different. Champion Energy is where you're going to get your electricity on. My electricity has been it's been so good, people. I know it's been winter and it's been cold and you're not using electricity as much, but mine is fantastic. It is fantastic. And I can tell you the difference being out here in L.A. Now, it's just going to be more expensive in L.A., but man, oh man, do I miss Champion Energy in Houston, because my Champion Energy electricity bill has been fantastic for the last 17 years that I've been with them, and it's going to continue. Hopefully, you have taken advantage of it as well. My buddy owns a couple of businesses, and he said, is this Champion thing real? I said, absolutely. He said the difference between 1 month and the next when he went to Champion Energy was staggering how much money he saved. So you will save money, too, if you're looking for the best way to get that electricity. If you haven't checked, if your contract is up with your electricity company, go with mine. Champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number to hang with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Come on, there's got to be something that y'all want to talk about. You're more than welcome. It's obviously a slow time. We got Rockets basketball tonight, though. We got Rockets basketball. They're taking on Milwaukee tonight and San Antonio tomorrow. Back-to-back, another back-to-back situation for the Rockets, and they got a couple of more still ahead. They've had the most back-to-backs in the league this season and got another one here tonight. Fortunately for them, though, there's no travel in between, so they got two home games, which is nice. And the Rockets hopefully can take care of this business. Take care of Milwaukee tonight, and then San Antonio tomorrow. San Antonio, not very good. They've lost all their players. So you got to take care of that business. I know it's a back to back situation, but you got to take care of that business. the Eagles. There was a report this week, I think, out of CNN, that said that they were not going, that they declined an offer to visit the White House, and the Eagles had to come back and say, nah, we haven't been offered, but we would love to go to the White House. So for those of you, I know that, you know, he is certainly a liberal owner. He has been in the past. He's stood up for causes, certainly liberal causes. So that's interesting that the Eagles have said that they would go to the White House. Maybe that stuff will change. Go to the White House, meet the president. I don't care who the president is. Go meet the president, and you know what? That's just fun for the kids. That's just fun for the guys to be able to go to the White House. It's some place they may never be able to go again, and they deserve it.
They didn't go last time.
They didn't go last time, right?
Yeah, they did not go. That was squarely within the NFL's pushback against racism and discrimination, and they pointed to the fact that they didn't believe the White House at the time, which was a Trump White House, agreed with their stance, so they said, no, we're not going. So we'll see. But they haven't got the invite yet.
But apparently, according to sources, that they will take it. I mean, that the guys deserve that. They deserve that. The free agent list is out, Lance, and draft picks are at stake here, right? I mean, if you lose a big But Stephon Diggs doesn't classify for that, does he? Because they restructured his contract.
Yeah, it's not part of the standard contract, so he does not count. So what you're talking about is the compensatory pick formula, where you have to lose qualifying. It's how many qualifying. So let's say you lose five qualifying free agents, and you sign four qualifying free agents. Okay, then you're plus one. So you theoretically potentially could get a compensatory pick, but it basically. There's a lot of lower-level free agents who will not hit the list. There's only a certain amount of compensatory picks that are given out. So, and then they cancel out. So if you have a high-dollar guy that you lose, a guy that fits into Tier 1, but you sign one, then they cancel each other out. So it goes down to – it's a cancel-out formula, and then it gets to, you know, like let's say you lose three big free agents, and then you sign, you know, like two lower-level, you lose six free agents and three – two of them are really good, two of them are pretty good, then you could end up getting a third, a fourth, and a fifth, for example. It can be a really big deal for some teams who end up losing free agents. So now more and more teams understand, okay, we may be losing a pretty good player, but we also are going to get a third-round pick in exchange. Now, it comes at the end of the round, but still, it's a top, you know, it's basically a top 100 pick. It is a top 100 pick.
Or
so
right there.
It's you want nothing or do you want something? And so teams have become smarter, some teams have, at being smart with how they factor in. Like some teams will trade for a draft pick. I mean, they'll trade like a seventh rounder for a player whose contract is going to expire just so they can have him as one of the players that will count as their free agents leaving so that they can be on the right side of the formula to get picks. So... there's some interesting strategies that go on there. But the list of free agency, you know, Daniel Jeremiah had a post, and he went through and looked at all the free agents, and he's like, dude, free agency stinks. Free agency is so bad this year that you really need to lock in on the draft and figure out what you're going to do draft-wise because you're probably not going to find what you're looking for in free agency.
Yeah.
It's just not good.
PFT ranked them all. T. Higgins is one. Sam Darnold is second. Sam Darnold is second, and Daniel Jones is 99th. 3 years ago, would you have believed that Sam Darnold would be the number two ranked free agent in this class, and Danny Dimes would be 99th? Talk about how it can turn. Russell Wilson.
So you said that's 33. That's the 33rd team.
This is PFT, Pro Football Talk.
Okay, because I've got one from The Athletic that has that's done in tiers. Here's who they have as Tier 1. T. Higgins, Trey Smith, Ronnie Stanley, Milton Williams, Chris Godwin, Zach Bond, and Josh Sweat. Here's an interesting theory. Would you be willing to – now, this is a big risk because Ronnie Stanley has been missing a lot of time with injuries. Would you be willing to take a chance with Ronnie Stanley and move and get rid of Laramie Tunsil?
Yes, that's what I said.
And you will get a first round pick for Laramie Tunsil.
Yes, I said that earlier. I would do that. I would do that.
I mean, Ronnie Stanley has missed. Like I said, it has become a real issue. So it's a risk, but it might be worth it.
You know,
he's only 30. Ronnie Stanley. I mean, tackles
Laramie Tunsil
until
missed
34,
some time
35.
Too, but that was when they were winning a game or two a year.
Yeah, and he had his thumb.
And he had, I remember he had a splinter or something, and he was out for 6 weeks, 7 weeks. And I don't know. He's been there for you, though. Yeah, Laramie Tunsil has been there, and Laramie Tunsil has been pretty good. I don't know that I want to give Laramie Tunsil another contract. And if you can get a first-rounder for him now and you can pick up a Ronnie Stanley, I would do that. Yes, I would do that right now.
So Ronnie Stanley missed 10 games in 2020. He missed 15 games in 2021. In 2022, he missed 5 games. In 23, he missed 4 games. And last year, he played every game. So this has been a lot of times missed.
Yeah.
A lot of time missed for Ronnie Stanley. But if he can stay healthy – you can get out of Laramie Tunsil at left tackle. I mean, he's a talented player, but I just think you want to get him out of your locker room. And it gives you a chance. Ronnie Stanley, if he stays reasonably healthy, could give you a 2 to 3 year window to find your next left tackle of the future. So I think it's something that the problem is you don't have that money available.
You free up some money with losing Tunsil.
Yeah, but you're going to take a hit. I'll have to see what your hit is on the contract, because once you trade them, there's a hit potentially. So let me see what that cap hit would be for Laremy Tunsil, because you want to get it done before the draft, and you want to get Ronnie Stanley. Like, I don't know that you could sign Ronnie Stanley until after you moved on from Laremy Tunsil. Well, I tell you what. So it's interesting because your cap hit this year is $28.5 million, and your dead cap is $25 million. So you actually save $3.8 million if you trade him this year.
Yeah. So...
So, yeah, I'm telling you, I would consider it. I'm not sure that makes you better at left tackle, but what it does, it makes you better in the locker room, I think. And it gives you another first-round pick, because this is not a good tackle draft. You can go get a first for Laremy Tunsil. I'm telling you, for sure, a first. Maybe a first and a fourth. So how would you like to have two firsts? Would be the worst thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah. That sure would be nice. PFT has Zach Bond as their 20th player. They have behind Carlton Davis, Drew Dahlman, Cam Robinson, Alaric Jackson, Dre Greenlaw.
Alaric Jackson?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Zach Bond was one of the best linebackers in football this year. He was all pro, wasn't he?
Yeah, I'm looking at some of these lists. They're like, Juwan Johnson's a tight end. He's a tier two tight end from the Saints. Like, that's a tier two player. Hufanga from the – well, I don't know. He's been pretty good. Dell crapped all over Javon Holland the other day, the safety from the Dolphins. But there's some – Malcolm Kuntz is a second-tier player from the Raiders. Like, you know who's tier – how about this? Malcolm Kuntz, who was late round to undrafted, is a second tier. Drew Dahlman, well, he's just a center. But Juwan Johnson, I think, was undrafted. Who's with the Saints? Tier two. You know who's in tier three? Chase Young.
Wow. Wow. A second
overall pick. Justin Fields, Aaron Rodgers, Hassan Reddick.
Wow.
Aaron Jones.
Well, Hassan Reddick you can't trust. You just can't trust that dude.
What, that he won't play?
Yeah, that he didn't. I mean, are you sure he's going to be happy wherever he is? I know I'm not.
No, you have his money for it. Is he going to spend his second year without money?
Well, okay. I don't know, but I can't trust him. I don't know that how could you pick him up and pay him when you don't know he's going to be there? I mean, that dude.
Here's tier four. Tell me which one of these tier four guys you would want. Like Paulson Adebo, cornerback from the Saints, I would consider. Keenan Allen, too old, too slow. J.K. Dobbins, always hurt. Robert Spillane, don't know. DeAndre Hopkins, old. Levi Onwuzurike, just a guy. Amari Cooper, too old to play. Russell Wilson, nah. Daniel Jones, rather have Russell Wilson. Najee Harris, for the right price. Asante Samuel Jr., just okay. Jaron Reed, used to be good. Brandon Scherff, used to be really good. Deo Odiyingbo, I would 100% take a look at from the Colts. Actually, this is a guy who the Texans should take a look at. James Daniels from the Steelers. He's more of a zone scheme guy, I think, so probably not what the Texans are looking for. Then Dan Moore, you know, he's been a starter for the Steelers. He's not good enough, but if you wanted to take some chances at your left tackle spot by trading you know, by trading Laremy Tunsil, you could potentially add a free agent tackle and just see Ronnie Stanley, Dan Moore, and see, hey, let's just see how it works if we get him out of or Alaric Jackson from the Rams, see if what happens if we get him out of our room, we pick up a first-round pick. It'd be interesting. It'd be interesting because I have to believe that the price tag, because the supply side is so low at tackle and free agency in the draft, that Laremy Tunsil would be the prize. He would be the prize in terms of draft. Now you'd have to do a new contract for him, but oh well, that's fine. He's still playing at a high level.
I could see them cutting Autry and picking up Puna Ford. Put a big guy in the middle there,
and save that $8 plus million that you're giving Autry, and you certainly don't have to pay Puna that kind of money. He's a free agent. We'll see. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, you got any thoughts on any of that, you're more than welcome. Get in.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Man, the Pistons are starting to get scary. Pistons are on a run. Cade Cunningham. I didn't think Cade – watched Oklahoma State. I didn't think he was going to be all that. He's really, really good. Holy crap. The Pistons are – suddenly they are actually – I mean, look at the turnarounds with the Rockets and the two of the doldrums, in the doldrums for years, the Pistons and the Rockets, and look how they turn it around with coaching and, you know, just winning at the top of the draft, getting guys who are, and well, I mean, not only, but the middle of the draft, Tari at 17, I want to say. And Alpi at 15 or 16, whenever he was drafted. I mean, you win those spots, and you get Amen at the top, and you get Jalen at the top. Pretty good. Then it's gonna turn around in a hurry. But the Pistons are suddenly they're sixth in the East, 32-26. They've been on a tear, 8-2 in their last 10. They've won 7 in a row. They're pretty good. They beat
Dennis Lindsay went over there, who I'm a big Rockets. Fan of, and Dennis went to Dennis left the Mavericks. He went and consulted for the Mavericks last year, and now he took a job with in the front office of the Pistons. And I know he was excited about what they potentially had over there, but. I mean, he built up the Utah Jazz with Donovan Mitchell, and you know, he's the one that kind of started the Jazz's build out. He was there with Rudy T and Morey, and then he went to work for the San Antonio Spurs, and he just knows what good basketball looks like. Just really, really smart. And that is a team like the Rockets that are on the come up. They kind of had the same, you know, kept drafting about the same places, and their players are starting to. It's really just a matter of letting guys develop. That's all. That's why Reed Sheppard, man, everyone's got to have patience with him. Because Jalen, Alperen, Amen, everyone, Tari, they all start to develop at about the same time. And you got a nice little lair going here where the contracts won't all come due at the exact same time. So Rockets are in really good shape, but so are the Pistons. Pistons really are. And Cade Cunningham is a great player.
Yeah. No, that was the right pick. Dude can play. He's a lot better. He didn't take command in college. You know, a lot like Jairus Walker. I didn't think Jairus was a top seven pick in the NBA draft because, you know, what we saw of him here, he didn't take control. I mean, if you're going to be an NBA lottery pick, a top five, six, seven pick, to me, I mean, you should be dominant. You should be, you know, the man. And I didn't feel like Jairus Walker was that guy. I didn't feel like Cade Cunningham was that guy.
Yeah, but do you think that he's going to be that guy on a team with Jamal Shedd and with Kelvin Sampson as a first-year guy? Like, that's awfully tough to come into a Kelvin Sampson team and just say, all right, I'm going to take over this team with Jamal Shedd there, one of the great leaders we've ever seen in college basketball.
If you're an NBA top pick, you should be a dominant college player. Yes, I do believe. I don't care where you go and who you play with, you should stand. And I just didn't feel like Jairus stood out like that. I just didn't feel like he did. And, you know, I didn't, well, Cade either, but Cade, man, he's just so talented. Jairus hasn't shown it yet. He hasn't shown it at the NBA level.
Well, no, I think he's, we'll see how he does. Like, I think he was drafted on spec, like on
projection
of what he's going to be.
He just looks like it. He looks like that. I mean, you get that NBA body, you go, wow, like you can't pass that up. But I mean, but are you showing that, you know, I know you got the physical tools, but are you showing that dog for the NBA? And so far, no. But Cade Cunningham is, holy crap, is he good. He is really good. Big win last night by Minnesota, and this is what Minnesota couldn't do. Minnesota just fades at the end. Did you see Anthony Edwards versus Jalen Green's numbers at the end of games? Jalen Green is better than Anthony Edwards at the end of games, but not last night. At the end of the game, down 24 in the fourth quarter, Minnesota beat Oklahoma City. Holy crap, that was crazy.
Well, maybe because he didn't play down the stretch until overtime. They benched him with about 3:40 to go or so, and they were down by 16. He did not play down the stretch in the fourth quarter, and they came back from down 16 to tie it. Now, we know he had the block.
He did make the big play at the end.
But, yeah, they don't get there without the guy who came in for him. So I think Finch may have said, okay, you're not playing well. We may not win this one. And he took him out of the game, and they came back big without him on the floor.
Wow, a James Harden Clippers moment.
In a regular season game, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When James Harden was playing, when the Rockets were playing the Clippers, and they took James Harden out, and they came back, stormed back, and won the playoff game. Anthony Edwards. But Anthony Edwards did make the big play at the end, blocking the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander layup in the final seconds of overtime to win the game, to seal the win for the T-Wolves. But, man, Oklahoma City, so good. I mean, look at the teams that are good. The Cavs, the teams that have turned – well, the Oklahoma City's been good for a couple of years now, so I can't say that. But the Cavs are up on Boston by six games. The Pistons, the Rockets in the playoffs. I mean, this is crazy talk. The Knicks are good again, although, boy, they suck this weekend.
Yeah.
Do what?
Not lately. They haven't been good. But
no, they suck.
It's upside down, and I really do fear the Lakers now. I think the Lakers and the Warriors, man, Jimmy Butler, they look so much better with Jimmy Butler. And we know he's like, now he shows up, now he wants to play, and you're going to get a good version of Jimmy Butler. The Lakers now with Luka, I'm not going to miss this. I'm going to try to see. I got to figure this out on my computer, how I'm going to see Lakers. I know I'll be able to see the Lakers Mavericks on TV. That's not a problem, but I got to get to a stream so I can. I think I can do it. No, I can't do it on DirecTV. I got to figure out how I'm going to watch the Rockets tonight. But I also want to see Luka against the Mavericks. I want to see if he's – because you know he's going to try to do everything he can to put a 40 spot on them, but that mean he shoots too much? And you know the Mavericks want to do everything they can to keep him from having a good game. So that one's going to be pretty interesting to me.
There was a tweet out how this aged poorly. The Suns owner last year saying how every NBA team would trade their team for his team. And how they and his organization with all the draft picks that they have, which now the Rockets own. Maybe this was a year and a half or 2 years ago, and he said how every NBA team would trade for his rock. They'd trade their whole team for his whole team, and now they're 27-30 outside of the play-in. But the Mavs are in the play-in right now. Will the Mavs be in the play-in at the end of the season?
Man, they're right there on the verge. I'm going to say yes.
I don't
because they have more to play for than the teams who are behind them.
Well, Phoenix will take the
back eventually. Like they're down three
and
centers.
At some point, some of those teams don't want to be. You got to remember, some of those teams don't want to be in the play-in. They don't want anything to do with the play-in. They need to be in the draft with a chance at Cooper Flag.
Well, the issue is your point is not a bad one, but. The Warriors, they want to make the playoffs. The Kings, they traded Aaron Fox, but they're tired.
Where are the Warriors right now?
They're ninth.
They're tenth.
They're a game up on the Kings.
Oh, the Warriors are ninth. The Kings are tenth. Yeah, the Kings are tenth. The Warriors are ninth. The Kings are tenth.
If I'm the Kings, I'm like, hey.
No, the issue for the Kings is they've been bad for a decade and a half up until the last couple of years, so they're sick and tired of being where you think they should be. In the lottery, so they will try. That's been part of their directive. What we've done in the past has not worked. So we're just going to try, and we'll see it. So they want to be in the play-in at a minimum. They may still wind up in the lottery anyway. Got to make the playoffs. So it's Phoenix. They're battling four teams who want to make the playoffs. So that'll be the question for them. They may decide, you know what? But they don't own their own picks, right? So they have to try, too.
The Rockets, it's an unprotected pick.
Yeah, so they don't own them. So from 7 to 11, all those teams are going to try to make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's either going to – well, I think Phoenix will take the place of either the Mavericks or the Kings, one of the two.
Well, they've been bad for now 57 games. Why do we see them getting any better?
Because they're just too talented to not.
What's the issue for 57 games? If the talent was there at game one and it has not clicked, why are they going to turn it on?
They have had injuries, too.
All three of their guys are back now, and they've been 2-8 in their last 10.
Well, but Bradley Beal just does. That's a round peg. That's a square
now they're, peg. Now they're back to starting him. Tyus Jones was taking his spot in the starting lineup. They've been playing so poorly, they've thrown him back in, and they've lost, what is it, 5 out of 6 to the Raptors and the Spurs, and they lost to the Rockets. Their one win so far is at the Bulls.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we can bank on Durant and Booker getting it together, but they have not been good since they've been put together with Beal.
So Durant's missed 12 games, Booker's missed 5, Allen's missed 10, Bradley Beal's missed 16 games. They've
that's not enough issues to explain this team being three games below 500.
Yeah, 3 games under 500. No, they should be better. There's no question. There's no question they should be better. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776. Time to talk Lance for you, my friend, to talk a little underdog.
Underdog Fantasy gives you a chance to play along with the games that you're watching. You know, I just talked about those basketball games. Is Luka going to go off? He plays his former team. You've got the Rockets in action. But when you have Underdog, I'm pulling it up right now because I know that they're going to have Luka stuff like first and foremost since he goes back. So his higher lower is 31.5 points. So just give you an example, 31.5 points, higher lower. His points, rebounds, and assists, 48.5. Assists, 7.5. So I would go double-double. 0.87 is the payout on higher. Lower is 1.12. You know what? I'm going to say lower on that. So I'm going to take a chance with lower on that. Then you go, you know, find another statistic inside the game. Or you go to the Rockets and you go find the Rockets game. And you go take a look at Jalen Green. What are you doing with Jalen Green? What are you doing with Amen Thompson? They have points in the first quarter. They have, three-pointers made. They have so many stats for you to choose from. You really just want to – here's what you do. You assess how a game may go. You assess certain matchups, and then you fine-tune it, and then you say, I think it's going to be higher or lower in these statistical categories. You pair the different players up, boom, 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 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different picks. You get a chance to win up to 1,000 times your original play. This is really going on a nightly basis, and a chance for you to use your sports knowledge to win real money. You can even use their flex option, which means the payout is a little lower, but you can still win even if you lose a game. So that is for those of us who are a little bit more, a little bit more cautious when you want to take a look at how you're going to pick them. That option is a great one for you as well, and you can still win your money with Underdog Fantasy. You got to use promo code Lance. Promo code Lance is going to give you, on your first deposit, they're going to match your deposit up to, or they're going to give you up to $1,000 in bonus cash, I should say, and you're going to get a free pick. So great opportunities for you to make money playing the games that you're watching anyway with Underdog Fantasy. You must be 18 or older, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to ncpgambling.org.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off 2 or more select major appliances. Plus, get 3 Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.